Who's David?
Yep, Alison Devlin from Willowridge Irish Orchard Road Holding. And Aaron is here as well, can you hear me speaking? Do they have a particular order you'd like to put through our submission?
The only request is that you're clear when you move from one geographical location to another.
Okay. I think 249, which is the Lake Hillier rezoning submission, is probably a quick one to start with. So, the director at Willowridge and Orchard Road Holding.
Mr. Dippy, welcome to this happy gathering. Ms. Devlin is about to address us on in relation to Lake Hawea. First point I should ask you is, do you have anything in writing, Ms. Devlin, or are you going to speak to her?
I'll speak to her.
Okay.
Oh, I might hand out some plans.
Okay, Lake Hawea.
Lake Hawea is submission number 249. Willowridge owns land off Tinsfield Drive, known as the Tinsfield subdivision. We're currently on stage 5 of developing that. Stage 5 is one of the last pieces of township zone, and then the majority of the remainder of the land is rural residential. So we, our submission thought that the Willowridge land holding be rezoned from a mixture of township and rural residential to low density residential. So actually we think it may have just been the rural residential zone that we thought to be rezoned. The Section 4C report has explained that they're not considering the township zone in this review, so it's not being valued. So I understand the reasoning behind that, but her suggestion was that a lot of the land there, both Willowridge and Street and the land to the east is actually rural residential. So her suggestion was that it should be considered through the plan change, whether the book is due for that or not. The problem that we're going to find now is that we still need to progress that subdivision because of the demand for housing in that area, and in particular the housing that we, the land that we developed, that we developed for on the more affordable end of the market. There is particularly strong demand for that. The last subdivision we've done, we haven't even completed, and it's already sold out, so we're thinking about the next stage. But each time we come to subdivide, we've got the hurdles of having to subdivide now in the rural residential zone. So our submission was, could it be considered through the plan change, but council wants to make the decision not, and whether the commissioners are taking that same view, that the rural residential part there is not part of the hearing. Would you like that?
Well, hang on a second. I thought it was the opposite. I thought the council was saying the rural residential part of the site, north of Cemetery Road, could be looked at, but that it was own township couldn't be, because it was the township zone that wasn't part of the state line.
Is that right? So you're looking at our rural residential?
So the rural residential. So, in any event, though, the council has basically suggested that we can only consider the zone or part of the site.
But it's the rural residential part that we have jurisdiction to consider.
Page 65. Willowridge submission seeks to rezone land, rural residential land. Township zones and any submissions on this land are not stage on and have not been evaluated. Okay. So it doesn't want to make any further evaluation on our.
So we've had a discussion with the council about what exactly that means.
Yeah.
Certainly. We have deliberated, of course, but it seems to me that just because a zone isn't the subject of a stage one went back and just submitted the titles to ask for their whole site to be considered for one thing or another. And we did raise with the council that part of the site can't be considered now. Doesn't that mean in stage two the other part of the site can't be considered then, in terms of how you figure out the site?
So what?
Well, I'll give it to you, we'll do what we want with that, but what do you think we should do?
Well, we think it should be reasonable then to residential.
The whole site?
Yes. Or at the very least, if you can't do the whole site, then the part that you can do, which is the rural residential. Because I do have an overall conflict farm, which is what we're farmed up for the site. And I can give you a copy of that and explain where we're at with that. So we've got a subdivision plan fully laid out for our land. We're currently up the hill, which is stage six. And we're just about to get resource consent for that. So that's pretty much the edge of the township zone, and all this is the rural residential. We've got a reserve land on that, possible future school site. So,
and that's up to Keeble Ave, is it?
It goes right up to...
Across
Keeble Ave. Oh, across Keeble Ave, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be progressing this regardless, because there's the demand for it. We want to be able to provide the school site and the central reserve, and there's also like a small strip where, you know, there's potential for...
What size lots have you have you sought and you expect to get subdivision for?
Well, this will show 800, but we have changed this and we've got an overall density of 800, but there are some smaller lots. We start there at 625, and we were able to offer those at the lower pricing bracket. So we'll probably look to do a mix, a more efficient use of the land, and be able to provide four of the sections. We'll probably look at starting from about 600 square metres. I don't think we'd be to go smaller than that. I think seven is a bit of a different site. It's on a sloping site, so there's some larger lots in there. But that's within the township zone. But you would probably look to go from 600 over there. But as I say, because of the demand for housing in the pricing bracket we can offer it, we will be progressing with this, regardless of the zoning, and then you come into the kind of problem with your consenting problems when you've got a zone that's a non-compliant, especially the zone of consent.
Yes, we would like that. Thank you. What is it that we're up to, Steve?
22.
So yeah, our submission was for that bulk of that area that you see blue there, as well as our stage 5, which is the stage 6 there, that it become low density residential, so that we can just proceed and provide the residential section as it demands the five. I'll pass to Al, who might have a chat about servicing and that infrastructure, that kind of thing in the area, as well as anything else he's got to add.
Mm-hmm. It's really when you see the long term boundary of how we are to the south at Cemetery Road and over to Newer Road and Domain Road, which is kind of a neat rectangle which I think could actually consolidate the town but allow for quite a lot of growth. We've been working on this long term master plan for Tim Seal for about 8 years. We've done 150 lots now. We've got 150 lots in the planning, so there'll be 300 lots. And at the start we were, affordable housing was always an issue, but not to such an extent as it has become, so we were quite content to subdivide a minimum of 800 square metres, which stems from the days before Hawea had a reticulated wastewater scheme, and that was to allow a section big enough for a septic tank. Of course, it's on a reticulated scheme now. There's also a rule that no 800 square metre lots can be available for duoflex units, which is an issue around affordability. So the council have given us a strong indication, by the politicians particularly, who have, particularly in the last election, told us that affordable housing is an important mandate for most of them, to have a look at more efficient use of land. And so we did that with the stage six that we're developing at the moment and created some small sections. And after 5 months of trying to get a consent, we nearly gave up because it was, whilst the message is out there to do that at one end, the planners have a problem at the planning end, and we've really struggled to get consent for stage six, and we still haven't got consent for stage six because we've got some of those small sections within it. Even though the average density is 800 square metres. So we're still burning up a lot of land building sections. We've now declared that stage seven, which you see on that plan in the light brown, nothing will be under 800 square metres because we don't want to have the same consenting issues. But you can see it's so that land's hungry. So the blue part of that plan, we would like to not follow the rural residential zoning provisions, which would be putting in, you know, 1 acre sections or whatever that rule is. Whether it be 800 in the township zone, that would be a better result, but really we should be looking at trying to give effectively the even better result, which would create sections. We think about at 600 for how we are, and there seems to be good demand there. We're able to do them at about $20,000 cheaper than an 800 square metre section, and that $20,000 is quite significant for first home buying families. So, and that was the stage six sections were marketed at 179 and 199, and 179 ones were the smaller ones, and they were the ones that sold first. So the demand there for them. Huge waiting list on stage seven, 85 people now, 85 families. And we ration them out very carefully, one section per person. So we've got quite a good affordable housing regime going, but we haven't got the underlying zone on our side. We thought by now that would have happened after the hardware planning, community planning workshops identified Century Road some years back as the logical town boundary. And infrastructure wise, Alison, I need to mention that. Obviously the working with council engineers, the more lots that go in, the more headworks that are available for the upgraded infrastructure around water, which has been done with the new intake, and wastewater, which still has to be done as the consent to the river expires soon. So there's quite a lot of work around wastewater infrastructure, but from an engineering point of view, obviously it is a township zone, and the more lots, the more headworks, the more money to pay for it. I think that's all I've got to say about how we're missing any questions.
One of the issues that's arisen across a number of submissions has been the implications of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular the question of whether a viable, feasible, more or less agreed infrastructure solution is a prerequisite to getting a zone, or whether through a subdivision process a solution is either found or if not a consent is refused until such time as one is found.
Mm-hmm.
What's been, at least under the operative district plan, your experience seeking consent, resolving infrastructure issues, that sort of thing?
Well, there's no doubt that it's had some engineering issues in the past, and there has been some wasted expenditure just determining what's the best engineering solution in terms of both water and wastewater, and that is really only the two pieces of infrastructure we're talking about. I think, you know, eroding is the other one you look at, but there's no particular eroding issues at Hawea. So money's been spent and the upgrade has included a much enlarged township zone. Wastewater, they've either got to make a decision at some point to create a different type of system than they've got in ponds out there, which ultimately could discharge to the river. That will change, and they are looking at an alignment to pump the wastewater to the airport, which is part of Project Pure. But whatever the issue is, that it won't be influenced by the it's only influenced by the fact the township's there, because the consent of the river is going to expire anyway. So when we talk to the engineers, their view is that the more lots that can be created, and the faster that we can create them, obviously in terms of demand for 40,000, the better off they are, because the more money they've got to spend on infrastructure, they're going to spend it on anyway. So that's one way of looking at it. It's not like a greenfield type of issue.
Well, that's at least the starting point. But to follow up, were we to recommend to the council that it could rezone the land to low density residential, and let's just give the council agreed with that, so you're now holding a low density residential zone. How would you envisage the process from here going? Would you be saying, I've got my zone, where's my infrastructure, or would you be still expecting you have to pay to make it happen to suit your time frame, or how do you see that
coming? This situation is a bit different because we've got a township zone underlying anyway. So stage 7 is all within the township zone. But between stage 6 and stage 7 you've got 150 lots. That's a huge difference in terms of the percentage of how we are. So then we've created 300 lots anyway. Changing this is it a rural residential zone? I didn't take too much notice of it because we've never particularly, the council never wanted us to go down that track. Changing that won't really affect the infrastructure requirements anyway. The same amount of money will be spent creating the infrastructure for what we can do under the township zone anyway. And we'd expect to be able to do that because we've had Edwards contributions, which are quite significant in terms of both water and wastewater in Hawea, one of the highest contributions in the district. So that's really, how is a little bit of a different case than coming from a greenfield situation.
Okay, thank you.
I've got a question. Mr. McLeod. Yeah, I'm clear. Okay, so likewise.
You made the comments about the Hawea 2020 plan of the urban growth boundary. So you'd be supportive of an urban growth boundary for Hawea following that recommendation?
Yeah, I think Hawea, those roads I talked about, the main cemetery in Niua. I mean, I think you've seen the, and you probably have looked at it, I don't know if you've had any submissions along the road a little bit towards Niua Road, but you've seen what happens when people develop a residential development in a zone that's not really the ultimate. I mean, in a more perfect world, this would have been rezoned township years ago, and we'd have had a much better planning. So I was very supportive of actually saying, look, here we go, and actually trying to encourage some of that consolidation of the existing counties. That's when your infrastructure does get easier to provide. It's when you start sprawling, doesn't it?
Again, people have been talking about the urban growth boundary for Hawea with Muir and Cemetery, and you've reiterated it. And Dunedin, where it dips down, there's a little triangle there that I think Chris Street pulled off, which is below Thames Field, south of Cemetery Road. You're comfortable with that being included within the...
I'd make Cemetery Road the boundary so that you really encourage that all that development along towards Muir Road to take place first, really consolidate the town.
Yes.
And if we can stop building so many 800 square metre sections. It's surprising how much land burns up building 800 square metre sections. And I think the expectation of how big the section is has changed over the years. So 800 square metres seems a big section now. People seem to be, from what I can see, happy with that sort of 600, 700 square metres section. So if we can get 40 or 50 more lots in there, then it will help with the overall affordability.
So you essentially keeping Cemetery Road as an urban edge?
Yeah, at this stage, and you could have a deferred zoning mechanism for once we get that town really. I think there's something to be said for really consolidating Hawea. It's a wee bit, it's suffered a little bit from a, it's not a master plan town by any means.
Yeah.
It's a little lakeside town that has grown by accident a little bit. So Timsfield's probably the first master plan part.
Thank you.
Where do you want to take us now?
Next to Southern Road and West Meadows Drive, which was a submission to rezone from large lot residential B to rezone to residential.
So that was West Meadows Drive, is it?
Yep, I think it's West Meadows Drive, Southern Road, yeah, this is where you go, Southern Road, there.
So it's large lot residential to LDR.
Yep.
Just find this and let's go.
Page
14 and 15
with
the... Mr. Barnes Evans, 14 and 15. Yes.
So, yep, you can see our land area you're drawing on the board.
Yes.
Right. In reading the report, the only opposition to that rezoning is traffic. And the traffic engineer has said that the traffic movements generally would slightly create potential safety and capacity issues at West Meadows Drive and Stone Valley Road. So we were just confirmed that the traffic engineer hasn't taken to account the wider picture of what's happening around here. And I have a plan of the wider development which will originate Orchard Road, Goldenberg, involved in. And it's known as the West Meadows subdivision, and then there's the Alpha series subdivision, which I was doing in the plan.
Thank you. So we have a plan that is now exhibit 23.
So you can see on the plan different thicknesses of lines, but the bold lines there are relate to the areas that our submission relates to, or a part of that though. And if you compare it to the plan on page 15 of this above report, you can see that the road network, instead of stopping at the end of West Meadows Drive, now continues on down to Meadowstone Drive and various options of accessibility and linkage to different parts of Wanaka. It creates that link road right through. So I guess our question is whether the traffic engineer took this new road layout into account and whether that would change the opinion it's a very small area of rezone. You can see from the lot that we would create here, it's not going to be a huge impact in terms of the overall road network. So whether that would change her view on that.
There's a question. Just trying to get my bearings here.
Yeah, you can see West Meadows Drive just before it turns into the bold line, that's the end of the white road and the lake track, so that's the bar of court. So all the road is north of that.
I suppose the question for me is Mr. Bowers produces Mishnah. Is the effect, have you reduced the scale of relief compared to your submission? Because Mr. Bowers' diagram, which is taken from your submission, shows an area, I won't attempt to describe the shape, to the south of West Meadows Drive, but all of your stage 7 subdivisions
are
to the west.
Yeah, I think those lots have been sold as large lots, those lots to the south of West Meadows Drive.
So is that a yes? The lots have been sold, and so in effect, it's no longer an issue.
For those areas, yes, so we could reduce it. So the commission here, the land that we still.
Like what you're saying.
Corner there, the corner shape here, the triangle of the thing. Sold in the last lot of residential, you know, I'm pursuing that aspect. What you're pursuing is the bowl on this plan. Yes. The part of that that is within this.
Yes.
And also to the north of West Moon Drive, because that will split the woman. There's already residential, loaded residential properties on that, so it's probably tidier that that is.
Yes, I've had that discussion with Mr. Barr.
Yes.
First question for me is, obviously you're not bringing traffic evidence, you're relying, which puts us in a tight spot, you're relying on the council traffic engineer looking at this plan and changing her view.
Yes, I think that's fine. Probably more recent. I mean, that the subdivision has started on this, and the road we've got consent for it right up to Mayor Drive. So this has probably happened since, probably even the traffic engineer wrote the report.
Seems to be the nature of the way in Wanaka this development is.
Yes. So much happening here.
Yeah, I'm just not entirely clear on where you've landed with what you're now asking us to reason on. Is it, if we go back to the original submission, the big triangular shape that's left over,
yes.
Or is it the dark folds of this showing on this plan?
Yeah, I think I might be able to answer that. I don't think you should rezone land in terms of notional ownership. If you look carefully on this plan, there's a notional line that says in that
way. Why don't you come up here and we can see what you're approving to on the plan?
Yeah. So we've always had this problem out here where we've got this notional line, which is this line here.
Yep.
And when I say notional, I really mean notional, because it didn't...
We noticed that.
It was like a line drawn from a different country, because it didn't follow any...
Yeah, thank you.
It didn't follow any land forms. And it was obviously someone come out here and draw. So when we came to draw the road, we obviously had put the road in the right place. And one of the things that we were always very keen to do, and why we ended up with this bit of land, is that we didn't make a road that ended up coming around here, and we did create quite a good east-west axial road. So this national boundary I think should now change to wherever you decide to change it out, and it's not really a concern to us, but we've solved the list, but maybe that's what we've asked for in the submission, obviously the blue one. To make this road perfect, we bought some land here to get that really good line through Middleton Drive. That's been a good plan and so on. The road engineer refers to this intersection being problematic. It's now a 50 km section, and we designed it as a 70 km section. It's not going to be problematic at all. I don't think the road engineer is correct. She really refers to this. But this many lots, or how many, is insignificant in terms of rezoning this as to what we're creating here anyway.
Yeah, so what I understand is that you sold those ones?
Yeah. And those houses are under
construction. So happy for us not to consider rezoning?
Yeah, if you want to.
Well, it's your submission. It's not really what we want to do. It's whether you want to give those people your sole land to through the development rights they want to pay for.
You're
in the limit. We might reach our own conclusion.
And I don't think it should follow.
So we see these bits in here, but would you also want the balance of your triangle?
No, we don't have a lot. So we only are in the black stuff. We only own that because we didn't want to end up doing this.
All right. And you're aware as well that we had a submission from Luna has taken over at least in part by the Andersons to include all of those, and there was a dotted connection through here somewhere as well.
Yeah, and they've got the same issue with this notion.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense to that.
Do you think it would be better when we're considering the submission you've made and the Blenheim has the one that we effectively deal with them together, or?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Nick, when she was up here, was talking about there being a potential of a connection from here on to potentially a scattered road. Is that still envisaged, or is it, I know she just drew in this bill.
Yeah, well that's, that would probably be a good way. This is, certainly is, and certainly Nick and I have been working together to try and achieve something semi-sensible,
connected.
I mean, this will make a huge difference to the town. Yes, this condition.
I've got another question.
Unless you want to keep it.
I've already got one.
Down before we go to the next one.
happens.
Everyone take this next
Page 65 is Mr. Barr's report. She is Orchard Road Holding submission. This is an Orchard Road Holding submission to rezone land to the north of Orchard Road, bending Orchard Road. That friend there is Orchard Road Holding. You can see on page 66 the purple PC46 area. Orchard Road Holding, that was a private plan change to rezone that land for residential development and for low density residential. So that plan change is now operative. And part of that was also to rezone some industrial B land, which is the blue to the north of that. So we're currently progressing with that industrial subdivision. And through that plan change, we look to separate out the roading network from the industrial and the residential. So we started developing a structure plan for that area so that we can get a comprehensive road network through this land and the land to the west and on through to Cadone Valley Road. So that's something that we're starting work on. I do have a structure plan of that area. So you can see this, the industrial extension here. And then this is now going to be part of the strategic road network, which is shown on the Wanaka structure plan and the Wanaka transportation strategy. So that's something that Orchard Road Holdings are quite keen to get going. So the residential coming from that, we've then shown linkages through to the producing land. So through the strategic plan review, we sought to rezone the remainder of that Orchard Road land to the south of PC46. On Orchard Road, low density residential. The section 42, the planning report said that they consider that a structural plan is necessary for this land if it needs to be rezoned. And a structural plan is something that we're not opposed to having in the district plan for our land. We've got a lot of land that is subject to structure plan rules, but for this one it's going to be pretty tricky because the land to the west of that is all zoned low density residential in the proposed district plan, and already on the back of that proposed one there's been a lot of applications for subdivisions. In particular, I mean, you can see on page 66 that the land to the west of the site has been developed or subdivided up to a point. So recently there was an application, RN160453, which subdivided the remainder of that land up to our boundary line. So I do have a plan of that subdivision. It's basically landlocked up to the west. So Orchard Road, this is, you know, we kind of feel that this is the opportunity for a comprehensive development of that wider residential area. So the first point is to tell us that we need a structure plan for our sites and there's not an overall structure plan. That's something that the council should. We certainly need submissions on the applications that are coming in there saying exactly this, that there needs to be a comprehensive approach to it. But without our site being zoned through this district plan, then it's going to be left behind and there's not going to be the opportunity to integrate that with the rest of it. So we're keen to get involved with the other landowners and try and come up with something that the water infrastructure plan and the transportation strategy envisage, and I think our land is quite key in that. So if our land isn't rezoned, then I think the opportunity to do that is lost. I mean, it's already probably getting to that point where it's starting to become a bit of a mess.
Very technical.
I think the technical term is dog's breakfast.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know kind of where else to go on this. I do have a plan that shows that second subdivision that's been brought up there, but it would be good to integrate this land
What's the status of the subdivision across the boundary?
I believe it's approved, subject to a condition that they need to find an alternative access from Canoe Valley Road. Did you know, please?
Yeah,
And it's very kind of, we're going with the judicial review type decision there. So
can we it's helpful the way you structured your presentation to the 40 Sparrow report. It would be helpful for me if we go to 13.4 of the 40 Sparrow report. So that says Mr. Barney, you tick the landscape box. No impediment there.
Yes.
Yep, so 13.45, there are some constraints. That's not a no, that's just a would need modelling and further work.
Yes.
Is that the kind of work you envisage happening through a subdivision consent? That might relate to stages and how much can be released when and things like that or not?
Just as one of the commissioners referred to it as a dog's breakfast in terms of perhaps layout and planning and roading, the infrastructure could equally be such. And I think now's the chance to take a good look at this land area and this district plan review. I think it's critical. It's the concern I have. The land between the Ballantyne Road and the Cadrona Valley Highway, all this land and effectively the land behind Gosforth Road and the subject land that we're looking at, and get the infrastructure provision right. And I think that Mr. Glasner is correct, it needs a little bit of modelling in terms of at the moment giving effect to plan change 30-46. It's not apparent what size infrastructure we should be running in there, because we simply don't know what we're doing, and it would be...
But nonetheless, the decision was made on the plan change
too. Oh no, I mean the infrastructure for beyond.
Really?
We can run the infrastructure in there to suit that, yeah. But that's not really what we should be doing. So
the chicken and egg issue there is that the council is effectively saying we shouldn't get given the zone because these questions haven't been answered. Yeah. Your position is they can be answered, they're granted now, but we are in a position where we can only make recommendations or submissions.
Yeah. Well,
in the absence of you giving us the plan, and the options, it feels like we may be going...
Well, I don't think there are any infrastructural constraints, but I think that this is the opportunity to get it right. I've got one area in Wanaka that could end up with our good plan.
Okay.
This is probably it.
What would your view be if, in an agreement with you, we made a recommendation to the council, which was to say, we've got a PDP, we've got a bunch of individual submissions, we recognise the opportunity, as you've described, and the recommendation for the council is that
in a similar way to which the council had the panel asked the council to do a Wakatipu Basin study and rethink about it. Is there length in us recommending to the council that maybe it should go away and redo this part of Wanaka again and effectively redo it through its stage two plan change to try and get in place all the sanitary levels?
We would be very supportive of that, and we don't particularly support the ultimate residential zoning, obviously, but getting it right in terms of structure, roading and infrastructure. So we would be very, very supportive of exactly what you just said.
Before I do my final thought, I just want to be clear what overall, you talked about Valentine Road, you talked about Golf Course Road.
We're talking about linking Gordon Roads, Cadrona Roads, Orchard Roads and Valentine Roads together, and all that area that's recommended for rezoning in the brown on the plan on page 66, and the area of plan change 46, which is largely God structure plan. It's been our company's view that industrial and residential don't mix, so we've got essentially a ring road on this plan around it. Which has been developed very closely with council, but we don't know where we're heading with it. And it's going to be a vital road, that connection of what we're building off Valentine is going to be vital, that it comes out in the right way, size, shape and form when it meets either Orchard Road or Cadrona Road, or probably both roads. And so what we're seeing is a whole lot of technical applications that we're going to achieve ahead of the zone, which isn't probably the way to do it, that are going to achieve a very difficult result. So if we did what you said, that's essentially what we've done over three parks and north three parks. We haven't been able to proceed with any development until we've had an absolute structure plan, master plan and supporting outline development plan application. That's what should be happening in this area rather than piecemeal resource consents or piecemeal plan changes.
Okay, but in the absence of that, your view is that the site, yeah, let's assume that option we decide not available to it. Your default position today is that the site is appropriate for and should be given an OBC zone.
Yeah, but I think it's really up to council to take the lead, because it's very hard for, it's fractionated land ownership. So it's very hard for the landowners to take the lead. And council needs to get itself involved here, in our view.
Okay, thanks for that.
Can I ask a question supplementary? In your opinion, with that, I know you raised the term of the fractionated land ownership, obviously there's some reasonably big development players in that area. Would you include Riverbank Road and the smaller, because there's been several applications to that, would that be logical to include that? Or?
The 10 acre lots and the 5 acre lots behind.
Yeah, I mean, there is an application before the commission at the moment.
I think that would come in the next phase. There's a fairly neat terrace through that runs on our boundary, and there's a more rural activity happening there at this stage, but I think that, and it's definitely a slightly different landform in terms of elevation, so I think that possibly as long as we create linkages in terms of the subject site, which would be part of it, future linkages are very important. That would probably follow on in a subsequent stage. There's quite a lot of development, if it's done right, between Valentine and Cadrona Roads. That would, if we could get that fully functioning, I think the infrastructure's available to do it. I think we'd have a pretty good tight result.
And by linkages, I'm assuming you mean road, off-road, vehicle, walking, cycling, linkages in general.
Yeah, and the cycling ones come up with what we've been doing in 46, but we could potentially have a cycle track and we're building a walking track as part of that industrial, we could potentially have something that leads nowhere at this place.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you look at the Wanaka structure plan, you can see that the area that Mr. Miller was talking about is the yellow area between Valentine and Cadrona Valley Road. So that's the area we're talking about, as well as the Orchard Road holding land in white. But there's a few strategic roads through the land there, so it would be useful if that was part of the overall comprehensive planning of that chunk of water.
Well, what I think would help me, following on from this discussion, because we don't know where it might go, anywhere, but it would be helpful for me if maybe, you know, by the end of the week, if that's possible, you could just send in to Stephanie just a map with the line around it, capturing the area you think it would make sense to.
Yes.
So like, I think that's the easiest way, instead of we all have a slightly different idea of what's in the middle.
Capturing the area of land that we'd see a structure plan be evolving.
Well, you think it would address all those issues you just described, I think if you just put a ring around it.
And for lack of a better word, are we calling it kind of a structural plan?
Let's just call it the area of land that in your view would benefit from structured planning.
Yes. Okay, that's good.
Now, Mr. Brown, just following up on one thing, you offered to provide the Alpine subdivision. We'll take you up on that one.
Riverbank Road and Ballantyne Road immediately to the south of the pond site, which is the Ballantyne Road mixed use field, I think it's called. Earth Commission sought to have that rezoned as industrial land, which again I understand is not part of this strict plan view.
That's in the ranks of the zone's not for the land is.
Yeah. So it's another unfortunate issue with this looking at the district planning to review, and you know, having to have the zoning catch up with what's happening there. You'll see from Mr. Barnes' report that consent has been granted for a contractor's yard, which is very much in keeping with the neighbouring zone. The sort of yard-based industrial development. Since that was RN160215 grant, we have varied the consent because the operation requires an even bigger yard. So now we're going to have the area of the building is about three times that was originally consented. So there'll be a workshop and truck parking. So really we were looking to have that, what we see is the last piece of that three-part Ballantyne Road area rezoned so that we can ensure that there's enough business and industrial land to keep up with what the demand is appearing to be for that type of activity. We've already subdivided the business area of three parts, which you'll see on page 60, the peripheral area. And the update of that is, well, the demand is as we expected, which is probably greater than what everybody else expected. So we know that we're going to pretty much run out of that business land. We've got the Ballantyne Ridge land, which was the 2B46 land on the western side of Ballantyne Road. But again, we haven't even progressed the subdivision there, and already we've got a lot of people trying to get land for development there. So really we just put the submission in for this, A, because we're going to be using it for industrial purposes, and B, because we're pretty confident that that land's going to be required for that type of development. probably sooner than they could speak with you. We're also in a position where every time we meet superior, contact with Jack and think we're in a rural zone. Yeah, infrastructure was seen as a concern, I guess.
It's helpful about infrastructure. Yeah. So we noticed the, what do you call it, section reports?
Plans report.
Plans report talked about the infrastructure. And again, the two parts of infrastructure that would be coming up would be water and wastewater. So a very good site service for both. In terms of water, we have just, in conjunction with the council, had a joint venture putting a 300 mil water plane out for this area that will eventually service the road opposite, which is called Enterprise Drive, which goes into Plan Change 46. So we have, we're going to, for the first time, have the firefighting capability for a lot of those industrial, present industrial and future industrial units, and all that water supply is available. In terms of wastewater, it's even easier. The Willow Ridge Company and QLDC have a developers agreement that we bought a wastewater line down the boundary of the sewage ponds and the subject site. So there's an existing wastewater line that goes down there and it crosses onto Riverbank Road at the very at Riverbank Road end of the site and follows the land along Riverbank Road to a pumping station which is already installed. So if you could ever get a site that was that's already got infrastructure there essentially. From an infrastructural point of view, I can't see any constraints, I can only see the logic. The only other thing I'd like to say is a farmer rang me the other day and he said, because he saw us tearing into this piece of land, and he said, what am I going to do? And I said, I don't think there's a farm here anymore. Which is logical enough, because we've been pushing him and, you know, he used to farm everything back to the golf course and now he hasn't got much left. So, essentially, the ponds site is in the QLDC ownership was already zoned and I think they're finishing off the remediation. This little corner, which is neatly bounded by Riverbank, is the only area that would remain rural, and as a farmer said to me, this is getting pretty hard fun. So, so it's just a logical progression of the town. We probably didn't get a zone which probably didn't allow enough business zoning in three parts. And hence the plan change, we could see that, hence the plan change, we could fight for it, and hence the plan change 46 application and the construction that's going to start quickly on that. But plan change 46 is only 40 small industrial lots and it doesn't have any of this larger lot type development, which is typical of what's happening on the pond side of this stuff. So there'd be quite a big demand for it. We'd rather progress that. Although the resource consent was relatively straightforward, given the surrounding use, we'd rather progress subsequent consents in the future on with the underlying zone.
How do you suggest we address the problem that Mr. Kapar's been grappling with, which is that the council doesn't actually want any more industrial V-land because in stage two it's going to be reviewing the industrial V-zone, and this would, if we were to recommend this be industrial but industrial V with an asterisk, because the rest of the industrial V-zone land is all under the ODP, and then the rest is review the zoning provisions, change, and this would stick out like an anomaly. So as I say, how do you suggest we address that conundrum?
Well, firstly, I'm not sure where the rest of the industrial fee land proposing to go in the next stage. There doesn't seem to be much space.
More the provision
and the
zoning.
Well, if you're going to change them.
Yes,
absolutely. So if you reason on that and then change the provision.
Yes, exactly.
Well, then we would just get involved in that.
It'd be like Clayton's industrial V zone, because it's not under the ODP, sitting off to one side with the same provisions, but not actually that zone.
Yeah.
Because
there would be a special zone, like.
Yes.
All the other special zones
that aren't actually that special.
Yes, exactly. Free from the other one. I guess that is what it would end up unless there was any way to bring it into line with the other through the next one, but I suppose the point is.
Well, the way to do it probably would be for us, were we to agree that the land should be put for industrial uses along the lines of the consent of the other
properties,
would be for us to recommend to the council that we felt the land was best suited for industrial. We don't have a suite of provisions that we think make sense, and so effectively the council might we notify at stage two industrial plan change, including this site, effectively rolling this site forward into the next review on the basis of a recommendation from this panel saying it should be industrial as opposed to residential or rural or whatever, but the provisions should be worked out as a whole of the plan. But that might not be satisfactory from your perspective because it just stretches out the uncertainty of what goes on.
Yeah, it does stretch out the uncertainty. But if we understood the timing for that, do you have any timing?
I wonder if Mr. Barrett, if you could assist us, if you've got any better intelligence from we have on the council's forward plan on stage two, the when will the industrial.
By spring, we'd like to notify about four district wide zones in the Wapiti Basin variation. So the industrial zones would be after that, and given resourcing, it could be looking into next year. Mid next year, easily before perhaps the industrial zones are notified, given that we're in front of us. So it would be, unfortunately, wouldn't be the next thing we'll be doing, even though it would be easier for a while. But having said that, the national policy statement on urban development capacity includes business land, and we are undertaking a business land supply assessment right now. So it's worth the council doing, but in terms of notifying provisions, it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, unfortunately.
Can I just ask you a follow-up question, Mr. Barr? If this panel were to recommend that this triangle of land were rezoned with the provisions of the industrial zone, although they'd be rolled over as a new PDP zone, given the time lag you've just described, the council could choose to accept their recommendation, but then it could immediately re-notify that site to change the zone provisions to bring it in line with the rest of the industrial zone anyway. There's nothing to stop the council
that's
rolling
right
over its own.
No, they can initiate a variation or some sort of.
Yeah.
So that would sort of reiterate the suggestion that if we were to agree that the site should be industrial, the key recommendation is that it should be industrial.
Mm.
And it increasingly seems like whether or not we were to try and bring forward the ODP industrial provisions or not, if the council agrees with it, it's probably going to make you go through that second process anyway.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a likely course for you?
Yeah.
Makes sense to you? Okay. All right, well, that helps. That helps me anyway, thank you.
Do we have any questions?
No, nothing.
I do have one question which leaks out and slaps me in the face with regard to the transport and the intersection of Ballantyne Road and Riverbank. And I'm aware that there has been discussion. I was just wondering where that had got to in terms of this application.
That is a very good question, Commissioner McLeod, because, and I think that the previous subject we're talking about, I think that some of this road that we're talking about that goes through Plan Change 46 actually would come into a roundabout and actually it would cut across some of this land into Riverbank Road and then realign Riverbank Road as part of the whole, looking at what I would call an east-western axial link, Bowskavone Road. And I think that there's definitely a plan that we've been working on that, in conjunction with council, that looks at taking away the problematic intersection at the Waste Busters corner, which they've had a lot of accidents on, and that is to realign the Riverbank Road.
So if you look at figure 9 on page 61, yeah. We've looked at both.
So we're looking at a kind of a roundabout here, cutting through the land. And this is why we're so passionate about the previous subject.
So
getting that one.
That roundabout roughly, if you think about where the dog leg is on Valentine Road, at the top of that.
It's at the top.
That sits at the top of that.
Top of the dog kennels, top of the pound.
Yeah.
From the town side of the pound.
And that would be something that you would be looking at expediting?
I think that those sort of things need to be looked at and with this whole structure plan that we suggested in the last topic. And we would definitely be very keen on expediting it because it's those east and western links across the town that are, you know, it's Golf Course Road at the moment or nothing. And, that's going to be problem. It's going to be a big problem in the future. So we've got to get this. I think you actually have to start with roading and get those links right. And so,
with reference to the structure plan, whatever the wish list plan that we've been discussing, that would be something that you'd look to address as part of that. That'd be very helpful for me.
I think that it's, when you're looking at a structure plan, you always want to be looking at the wider links as well, and that's what we'll be doing. So we include that.
Thank you.
Page 82 of, is it report number 3? Luggett. So it's, national letter, please?
It will be the Group 3 report.
Group 3
report, Luggett.
Yes, so page 82 of Group 3.
Look at that too.
Yeah. So this relates to Luggett Township. The history of this is that back in, I think it must have been 2006, consent was granted for two subdivisions. One was for 22 lots on the Upper Terrace. That was known as Luggett 2B. So that's just on page 83, just so you can see the site is split by a terrace and it's the upper part section.
Yes, we'll be that there and have a look.
Oh, so that's, you'll see that it's just about complete, the subdivision there. And we thought that half of that split zone at the moment is part rural residential and part rural. So we thought for it all to be rural residential. That would, in reality, the consent for 2B, it's an environment code consent order, and it's so specific that probably wouldn't make much of a difference, you know, the underlying zone for that section, so it's not something that, because there's no further subdivision here anyway, they've got the balance of the land is to be vested with council as reserve, there's no further subdivision on the specific building platform, and have quite tight control, and the reason is the landscape and visual impact of the upper terrace location of it. So the lower plateau, which is Luggett 2A, At the same time, not to Environment Court, just to Council hearing, there's 138 lots were consented there. The consents are now, originally it was Luggett Holdings Limited, and then it went to various companies until Willeridge purchased it probably 2 years ago. It's on to its second extension of that period, but we have now finally implemented the consent. So we started 2A, with some of the first stage of 2A, so the sections are still there. So whichever way you look at it, the subdivision is now going ahead. So the submission sought to rezone the land as low density residential, and that would fit the activity that's taking place upon the land, and it would certainly make it easier from the potential, the future residents' point of view, in terms of how they go about activities on the site. The planning report has recommended that it remain rural zone, basically on largely landscape issues, also I think traffic. Just in terms of traffic, I know 19.13 didn't affect poses the rezoning on the basis that there's not enough information. You fix are uncertain, and the site is on a 100-kilometre high-speed environment road. I'm not sure whether she means that the speed of traffic travels that is 100, but the actual speed limit is 70 rather than 100 there. You know that that's there. At the intersection of the subdivision.
And the intersection, it's Pisa Road, was it?
From before Pisa Road, yes, so traffic would have slowed by the time it gets to Pisa Road.
But they're all more abiding drivers like my fellow commissioner.
It could be that this has changed recently, I'm not sure when it was put there.
Sure. It's probably going to get tested.
It's probably going to be special, yes.
Something I was going to potentially suggest. I know that the Luggett Community Association are quite strong and tried to take the 50 to the 70 and the 70 further out.
Yeah.
But obviously that's something that doesn't exist at the moment.
Yeah, and it's discussions that we will be having with FSTA next week, in fact, when we meet them. And the other, in terms of landscape and, you know, the general, the report seems to not want any intensification of development at the site. So the consent that we've got for 2A, it certainly allows what you want to do. It has got quite tight controls in terms of what people can do there. But it's got some interesting conditions, like you have to clad your shed within your house, or so like quite tight controls. It seems a little bit odd. There is a 7 metre height, and they've got set building platforms because it's a rural zone. In terms of rezoning, that would enable, if it were low density residential, it would enable more lots to occur at that location. Certainly, visually, it could be mitigated simply by mitigation measures at the eastern end of the site. I guess the problem here is how you route that into the low density residential zone road, whether you've got structure plan within that chapter. But that's something that in designing our revised layout, we are certainly mindful of the impact of the visual impact when you come in from the state highway from the east. But in terms of efficient use of land, we see that eastern boundary of the site, and certainly the northern, is very much a defensible boundary for the Luggett Township, and in order to efficiently use the land that's left in Luggett, then you don't want to be developing 800 plus metre sections, you want to be looking more at that 600 end and trying to offer the more affordable sections in there, because it's very much that sort of area for people who can't necessarily afford in Monica. So the submission, you, the main benefit of rezoning is to increase the density of that location, because we currently can progress at 138. It will have there will be planning efficiencies of just implementing that consent in terms of future variations for each of the lot, and I think Ms. Rowe's report acknowledges that. But yeah, I think in terms of land efficiency and tiring costs, future planning, that the rezoning that the land low-density residential space site comes to that site. I think Mr. Lindsay's got a few comments on the infrastructure here as well, because that was also a really big issue. We've been doing a lot of work on that.
Yeah. Actually, this is a very similar scenario to how in previous summer, really. And in fact, how we are in Lugger are the company has these projects, because as a general rule, if we produce one expensive section of one, if we'll produce an affordable one in either Hawea and Lugger. And that's due to the fact that we're not a one-off project company. We've been around for a long time. So these townships are incredibly important to the Upper Clipper district. We are very fortunate that they're only 15 minutes drive away. Queenstown doesn't have that, well, it has that luxury with Arrowtown, but Arrowtown's probably equally expensive. So we've been able to create affordable lots. We have huge demand each way. We've done 40, we've burnt up a lot of land. They're probably, the consent we've got is for 138 lots, they're more like 1,000 metre lots. They range from 800 upwards to 1,200. So initially we were quite content 2 years ago just to give effect to the consents that we inherited, and we've been pretty speedy about that. But then we started to talk about infrastructure with the council. And Lugget at the moment has a mixture of the old township all on septic tanks, and some of those septic tanks are nothing more than nothing, really, if you dug them up. And Lugget, what do we call this place? Lugget Park has a very modern wastewater scheme that's privately owned by all the people that live in Lugget Park, which is something we've inherited, and it is a scheme that council aren't happy with, the residents aren't happy with, and we as developers would never implement such a scheme, because essentially the wastewater goes from your own wastewater in your house, goes into a public infrastructure and pumping station system, and then back into private, so it's got private, public, private poos. So it's very unusual. Council have been under some pressure from the many residents, and you've got to realise that Lugget Park has previous stages to what we've inherited, to take over that scheme. And we have been enacted in negotiations of saying, let us extend that scheme, but not just for Lugget Park, let us extend the scheme for the whole of Lugget, because essentially soon, with ORC, you're going to find that, I think, that conditions, particularly septic tanks, aren't going to comply. And the council have been very keen to look at that, and then out of that we've been working with council's chief engineer, and he's suggested a plan which we have made a report on, of pumping, taking this plant away that exists and pumping all the wastewater up to the airport, which is Project Pure, which is about a 4.5 kilometre stretch along the highway involving stations. So we've been working closely with the council to do that. Initially we thought it was a bad idea, and they're talking us around to it. And it's a good idea from council's point of view, because it's a long-term future-proofing of the town. But what they would like to see, and this is really depends, you know, reading that planning report, I was a bit disappointed with it. What council are telling us is to create some more efficient lots, to create some smaller lots, to keep going with the affordability. Because the more lots we create, the more headworks that the council will collect, and the more affordable this scheme is for everybody. So I'm getting a lot of pressure to do something a little bit more land efficient with my 138 lot consent. until we read this, which is really a planning report that's saying just do your 138 because there's a landscape issue. But to me, the landscape issue is a strange argument because we're coming to a town anyway. You know, you've driven up from Cromwell, you've gone through all the vineyards and farms, and you've come to Luggett. And I think Alison hit the nail on the head when she used the words defensible boundary. And I think that's that piece of land that we have there is a defensible boundary for Luggett. Certainly the houses start on the highway at where our land starts. There's existing homes there. So I don't know if the landscape issues are as great as problem is perceived. It's certainly a more minor problem than affordable housing. And the only other thing that I'd like to say is that I guess this district plan review, if it comes into effect by, let's say, the next couple of years, and we're in 2017 now, 2019, 2020, and it's got a life of 10 years, that's 2030. That means I'll finish these 138 lots in the twinkle of an eye lived at the moment with the demand for them. That means for 10 or more years, the people that live there are living in a urban environment on a rural zone. And every time that's happened, and we have been involved in a lot of developments where it has happened, and the most striking one is here in Wanaka, which is Meadowstone, where we've extended the boundaries out, and half the people in Meadowstone, not half, but 30% of the people in Meadowstone live on a rural zone. Every time they come to do something with a, I don't know what you mentioned before, a garden shed or something, the poor planners go back to the rural zone and are testing that, what they're trying to do. You've got to put your garden shed 20 metres from the boundary. That's just an example. So it's just, in my view, this planning report isn't right. It's the underlying zone, if at all possible, should try and follow the activity of what's happening on top of the land. And we have turned from rural to urban. We are giving effect to the consent in the next 24 months. And this district plan has got to live a lot longer beyond that. Now, council have come back to us in the past and said, well, we could do a private plan change in the future. But we would have no interest in conducting a private plan change, and council have no interest in funding it. So this is the time. This is the time to get this zoning right for the future. So this is the one I've probably the most, of all the topics today, and there's been a few of them, this is the one I'm most passionate about getting right. I think we've got an opportunity here.
Can you help me understand the we're seeking 138 lots, which are consented. The top terrace is already subdivided and sold, and the far eastern extent of that is a reserve, so that's taken up, locked up, away you go. So it's essentially the lower part that you're looking at extending. And what up zoning, what would that mean in terms of allotments?
We've been looking at
So that
220?
Yeah, the 138 lots is just in the 2A, so that at the moment we are building essentially 160 lots, 138 plus 22. And we've done some preliminary work as part of this Pumpkins Project Pure work to give council a bit of an idea of how many headworks they could expect to receive for the budgeting. And we think if you use the minimum lot size of 600, again, not too small, a bit like earlier that we've been doing, you would get an extra 100 lots. So the ultimate capacity, still with and still with a very good reserve, because you've got the plateau reserve, you'd have 238 lots in round figures, probably no more. So the zoning would allow an additional capacity of 100 lots.
And
over what's consented.
Over what's consented. And would that, at that stage, then, I mean, you could possibly argue that, and you've alluded to the private public private partnership of the pool ownership first.
Mm.
But that obviously the solution which would be pumping uphill to Project Pure would be triggered early in the whole development process, because there's no way you can just keep using, or is that
the advantage of the infrastructure is twofold. A, it would allow the zones to change with the infrastructure boxes being ticked, and it would allow the existing Nugget residents and some businesses that want to establish Nugget, they've got a problem, of course, to hook into it. And it would, the work I've been doing is with Stuart Burns and Finance. So we've been doing money, and it allows a headworks connection fee for those residents, because it'll pay to get onto it. It allows it to be kept at a level that's affordable.
Yeah.
But it's sort of luggage, but that, you know, it's not the highest incomes. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of advantages.
So that's discussing with Stuart, obviously the cost to the client right there for the headworks. How would water supply figure in that? Because I know that there's potentially a couple of issues with that.
Mm. So with the subdivision we're investing at the moment, we're creating a area of land for councils to sink a deeper bore onto. And they there's a bit of money from previous headworks infrastructure that hasn't been spent on water supply upgrades, so it's going to be quite a, and with what we're doing at the moment, this is going to be quite a good upgrade available for water supply. But again, more lots just help with the money to pay for the upgrade.
No, that's it. Thank you.
Nothing from me, I think. It's very helpful, thank you. Is that, is there any more for any more team?
Any things?
We're all good. Thank you very much for your time, for coming to see us. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
In that previous discussion on the structure plan area, you'd like us to, you know, if we were doing a structure plan for the wider residential development, and you requested Craig obtain the Alpine Estates decision. So there is also another subdivision application that's basing itself on the PUP. I don't know if you're aware of that. That might be worth including the Peter Gordon one.
Yeah, been notified.
Yeah, that's planned. Just, you know, to see what people are doing. Like, again, we proposed this in terms of subdividing along a road, and they're trying to create even more landowners within the area in terms of the blocks. So it might be worth looking at that one as well as the Alpine Estates one.
You could provide that. I think we just probably just need the subdivision plan rather than the whole application.
I've got copies of those here. I'm getting them.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Exhibit 24. Thank you, Jim. The hearing is for Tuesday the 30th of May at 10 a.m. at the Lake Wanaka Centre.